Well, good morning. It's been a great week, as we mentioned. We had a lot of good weather and a lot of blessings that we shared this morning. And it's good to see you back here today in the house of God. We are going to continue on in John chapter 1 this morning. We're going to be looking at verses 19 through 28. John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. The testimony of John the Baptist, of course, in the first chapter, he is mentioned a few times. And this passage is no different. And we're going to talk about how John was the representative of Christ, how he was a voice crying out, and then the idea about him baptizing others. He baptized and what that means and why we need to do that. So we're going to talk about John the Baptist this morning. John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you today. What an honor it is today, Father, to be called your children, to be saved by the grace that you give us, that Jesus, you came, emptied yourself of your glory in heaven, lived on this earth and died that we might have eternal life and abundant life in this life that we have now. And I just pray now as we turn our attention to the Word that you would bless the reading of the Word, that you would bless the message that is spoken. I pray, Lord, you give me the words to speak, that whatever is said will come from you and not from me. And God, I pray that you'd speak to every heart that is here this morning. If there be one that is not a believer, that person will come to know you today. And Lord, for those of us that are Christians, may we be encouraged and challenged in our lives and our walk with you. Again, bless us through this service and guide us through the remainder of this message and just open our eyes to whatever it is that you would have us to know. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. If you will please stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. Thank you. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." And then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" And John said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make way, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me, as preferred before me, whose shoes latched I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." May God bless for you in the Word. Thank you, and you may be seated. John the Baptist, and a great man of God, a great person of God. That is what we call the word given to him, the title given him, I guess you should say, is the forerunner of Christ. He was the one that came before Christ to tell the people of God, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, and even the Gentiles, that the Messiah had come, that the Lamb of God was now here, that no longer was there... Well, we're living in a hopeless time where we had to continually sacrifice lambs and animals to cover our sins, to remove the sins in the eyes of God. But the perfect Lamb, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, was come. And it was John the Baptist's duty. He was commissioned to preach the coming of Christ. And that Christ was preferred before him, that Christ was greater than him. And that Christ would come and be the Savior of the world. And if you look on past verse 28, in verse 29, the next day John saith unto Jesus, John the next day seeth Jesus coming to him, said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." We'll talk about that next week. We'll get into that verse next week. But that was John's duty, to forerun, to tell us, to go before, precede Christ, letting us know that our Savior had come. John's role was very important. It is a role that we cannot underestimate, nor that we can undermine in any way. No, he was not Christ, and he tells us that. He says that many times. I'm not the prophet. I am not the Savior. I'm not the Messiah. He tells us that. John tells us that. But he was very important. Now, in his humility, he would never admit that, but he was. And his role was vital in the coming of Christ. He prepared the hearts of the people. And that, in a lot of ways, is what we will talk about this morning. First thing we want to see about John is that John was Christ, Jesus' representative. John was Jesus Christ's representative. Verse 20, it says, "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ." And he later he tells us that he came before the Christ, that he came to prepare the way for him. But John was the representative. He was the forerunner. He was the one that was to be he had the characteristics of Christ in the sense of preaching salvation, in the sense of loving people, having compassion on people, leading them to repentance. He himself was not the Savior. And it goes back to verse 15 and then again in verse 27 when he says that Jesus is greater than me, that Jesus was more important than he was, and he knew that Jesus was greater than him, and John knew that he was lesser than Christ, inferior to Christ, and the importance of man and the importance of the world, that he was just a representative, as I said. He was unworthy to be Christ's slave, as it tells us, verse 27, that he was not even worthy to loose the latchet of Christ. It would have been the slave's job, the lowest of the servants. It would have been that person, that man's responsibility to take off the latchets of a traveler and then wash the person's feet. And for John, he said, not only am I not worthy to wash the feet of Christ, I'm not worthy to even take his shoes off. I'm not even worthy to be the least of the servants of Christ. And that's what he was saying when he said that Christ is preferred before me, that Christ comes before me, and Christ is greater than I am. John knew that he could not save others, and he knew that only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus had that power, as he was in verse 29, he tells us, as Jesus is the Lamb of God. But not only is John representative of Christ in the sense that he preaches of Christ and shares that Christ is coming, and he is a servant of Christ. But we also see in this passage that Elijah denies being, John denies being Elijah and the prophet. And it tells us in verse 21, and they asked him, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "No." And he said, "Are you the prophet?" He said, "No." And you got to go back in the Old Testament and look at some prophecy in order to see that. And first of all, in Deuteronomy has that, but also in Matthew it does mention that a little bit. And I want to go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 14, and read that verse for you. And Matthew 11, 14 says, And if you will receive it," this is Jesus talking, "if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come." And Jesus is talking of John, and he said, he is Elijah. And that all goes back to the Old Testament where the prophecy was made that the Christ will come, and before the Christ, there will come a prophet in the spirit and power of Elijah. That Elijah himself almost would come back. And you remember who Elijah was, a great prophet, a great man of God, a godly man that performed many miracles, but he led Israel through a time of Israel's history where they were not as faithful to God as they should have been. They were not as sold out to God as they needed to be. And it was in that time that Elijah ministered and performed those miracles, and he had a strength of power. He had a prophecy. Elijah had a way with words and a way of leading that made the people say that we needed God. That was the power that Elijah had. And it was prophesied that Elijah or someone similar to Elijah would come again before the Messiah came. And so the people asked, the Pharisees here asked John, "Are you Elijah? Are you that person that is to come before Christ? Are you the one that it was spoken of to be that new Elijah?" And he says, "No, I'm not." And then in Deuteronomy, it mentions that in chapter 18, verses 15 and 18, it mentions that again. It says in verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall listen. And then verse 18, I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them, and I shall command him. And that was the idea of the prophet. When they asked, are you that prophet? That's what they're talking about. Are you that prophet in Deuteronomy where it says that God will speak through you, that God will speak to the people on your behalf and use you as his vessel, as his object of reaching the people? And in both cases, John says, no, I'm not Elijah, and I'm not the prophet. Now, we see that, and we go back again to Matthew 11:14, where Jesus says that John is Elijah, and it gets kind of confusing. Is John Elijah? Is he not Elijah? Is he that prophet? Is he not the prophet that is to come to share and to be the forerunner of Christ and to be that prophet of God? And the answer is, he is that prophet. He was the prophet chosen. He was the one that fits the description of Deuteronomy. He was, as Jesus said, Elijah. As the Old Testament prophesied, there would be that Elijah. John was that one, but you got to keep in mind that John doesn't see himself as important. John doesn't see himself as great. John, in his humility, in his humbleness, in his servitude, realizes that he is simply nothing but that, a servant of God, a servant of Christ. He doesn't see himself as important. He doesn't see himself as special. All he sees is that I represent Jesus Christ, that I am the one that has come to make the way known for the Lord, that I am prepared the hearts of the people for the Messiah. I'm nothing special. I'm just a servant of God. I'm just a representative of Christ. Now, I know that may seem a lot of, maybe confusing, maybe a little too much information, but when you think about that, you think about who John was. He was the forerunner. He was the prophet of Christ. He was the one that told us that he was coming. He was all of those things. But he also was a man of humility, a man of service. And when you think about that, and the fact that he represented Christ in that way, and then you take you and I today. You and I, those of you in here this morning that are believers in Christ as I am, born-again believers in Christ, and it may be all of us here this morning, but as we are believers in Christ, we are to be that representative of Christ as well. We are to be the one to tell others that Christ is here, that Christ is real, that Christ is alive, that he saves, that Jesus wants to save you. We are to be a servant of Christ the way John was a servant of Christ. But not in arrogance, and not in anything that people should owe us something, and not in a sense that we want prestige because I know a lot about God and you know, look how many people I witnessed to and how many people get saved because of me and all this. It's not about that. It's about being the servant like John was. Being a witness like John was. Being a representative of Christ the way John was. You know, if we can be that way, if we can tell others about Christ and lead them to Christ and show them who Christ is, then we are like him. We are being that servant and we are being humble. And we are Christ's representative. And that, first and foremost, is what is important, that we are to be a representative of Christ. And I want to first challenge you this morning to be that representative that God has called you to be, the way John was. But then we look, and not only do we see we need to represent Christ, and we need to have that humility in our lives and show others who Christ is, but with that comes that idea of the voice crying out, that being a witness, sharing and preaching. And when you think about in verse 23, it says, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And when you get that idea, maybe you get an image of your head like I do of a man that goes out and preaching. And I guess today, we don't see him much anymore, but today the closest I could think of that would be exactly what in my mind what this is would be a street preacher. You know, have you ever... I've actually seen him here in Adel. Have you ever seen street preachers? I haven't seen them in a while, but I remember one day I was driving down by Park Avenue Bank, and there they were, two of them on the side of the road yelling. I had no idea what they were saying. My windows were up, and I couldn't hear them. But they were talking and preaching, and one day I was on my way through Nashville. I saw a guy. He was talking and preaching. And anyway, that's the street preachers that we have in our time. That, to me, is kind of how I think of John. that idea of the voice crying out, that he preaches where everybody can hear him. Now, in the time of John, it was probably a little more accepted for someone to go out and preach. Today, we kind of make fun of those people, don't we? We may not, but they get made fun of. But in the time of John, it was a little more common that you had someone to go out and preach. Like Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount. He preached on, you know why they call that the Sermon on the Mount? Because he preached a sermon on a mountain. Okay, it was literally on a mount. You know, it wasn't in a sanctuary. It was out. It was open. It was wide. And there were hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people, gathered to hear Christ. And that was the idea for John, was the same way. He was such a great preacher, he had such a great following, that he was a voice crying out to all people, that this is the Christ. Christ is coming. The Messiah is here. And he preached many different things to the people. He preached to them the grace and truth of God, that it is the grace of God that saves. It is the truth of God that we must follow. He preached repentance of sin, turning from sin. He preached salvation and believing in Christ and believing in God. And even though he obeyed the commandments of God and obeyed the law of God, it was John that really preached this more about repentance. It's not about keeping every piece of the law. That's what we're supposed to do, but we can't do that perfectly. And John was really the first one that preached that we repent of Christ, and we repent of our sin, repent, turn to God. And that was his preaching. That was his message. He was that voice crying out to the people to turn to God and from your sin and give your devotion to him. And again, it wasn't just to a few people, but it was crying out to anyone that would listen to him. And another part about that idea of crying out that I think of, again, he preaches it for all people. But another idea that I get in my mind when I think of John being the voice crying out in the wilderness, I think of that if you're going to be a person that cries out in the wilderness, if you're going to be a person that preaches where anybody can hear you, you can't be timid, can you? You can't be shy and bashful, you know, reserved. I mean, how many times I've seen taught in teenage, for example, I've taught teenagers in Sunday school, and I've done some substitute teaching in the past, and I've been around younger people, and I say this, and I realize there are a lot of teenagers that are not shy, okay? But there's one thing I've noticed that a lot of teenagers are. They don't like being in front of people. I remember when I was a teenager, I hated whenever I had a teacher that assigned us a verbal speech that we had to give. Maybe we had to give a report, or we had to recite a poem, or whatever it was. I despised teachers that did that. I hated it, because I hated to get up in front of my classmates and give reports and talk. And you know what's funny is, it was only 5 minutes. You know, now I get up, and you're hoping I'm done in 5 minutes. And it's nothing. You know, I'm lucky if I'm done in 30. But at that time, in 5 minutes, it's unbelievable how fast that goes by. But when I was a kid, it terrified me to death as a teenager, a child, to get up in front of people and talk, because I wasn't used to it. I was shy, and it wasn't just me. Other people in class said we didn't like doing it. And a lot of teenagers, a lot of kids don't, because they're not used to it. And some adults don't like doing it. Many of you probably wouldn't want to come up here and preach a sermon or whatever, because you're not used to it. My point is, if you're shy and timid about speaking to people in front of people, you're not going to be a voice crying out, are you? And what I'm trying to get at, in the book of 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, we are not given a spirit of fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power and love and discipline. When we speak to others, when we preach to people, when we share the gospel, whether we preach in a sense like I am today, or we preach like a person on the streets preaching out to others, or we tell another person about Christ, a loved one, or, you know, one-on-one, whatever it may be, when we are that voice crying out, whether it's in a congregation of people or one person, and we are that voice crying out, we are not to be shy, we are not to be timid, because God doesn't give us a spirit of timidity. John didn't have a spirit of timidity, just as 2 Timothy 1:7 says. He was forceful. He was powerful. And that's who we are. God gives us a spirit of power and love and discipline. That's how you can get up in front of people and preach. That's how you can go to someone and share with them the gospel. Because of that power of God that is in you. That's what it means to have be that voice crying out. For John, he had that. And for you and I, we have that same power of God. And we got to learn to be that voice crying out in the wilderness. And I know it's hard to go to someone that you don't know and share a faith with them. I know it's hard to talk to people about things like that. And it can be intimidating. We can be shy and timid. We have to remember, God gives us a voice that He wants to cry out with. To tell others. To not be timid and shy, but to be loud and boisterous and share our faith in Christ. Be a voice crying out in the wilderness the way John was. Share your faith with others. But real quickly, as I close, the last thing I want to share, the idea that John, in verse 25 and 26, he says that I baptize with water, but there's one coming that stands before you whom you do not know. And basically, Christ is coming when he baptized in the Spirit, but John would baptize in water. And that idea of baptism, you know, we practice baptism in our, of course, we're Baptists, obviously. And we practice baptism, and it's important. Baptism, we know, is a symbol of following Christ and being obedient to Christ. And that's why John did it. The reason why he had people baptized, it wasn't just, you know, because it was tradition or whatever. When someone would repent, they were dying to themselves. They were going back to God. And that baptism showed that they were giving up their lives and living for Christ. And living for God. And we're going to live for God. And that was the idea of baptizing. And for you and I, when we baptize, you know, I get in the baptistry and I baptize people in the water. But that idea is that we need to lead people. We need to guide them that when they repent, when they make a decision, they need to stick to that decision. They need to live a life of holiness. They need to live a life of discipline to God. They need to live a life following God. That's why you get baptized. It's not just about going in the water. When you get baptized, you're making a commitment that, one, I've changed my life. I'm now living for Christ, I'm living for God, and I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And for you and I today, you can help in baptizing people. Not in the sense that all 30 of us need to get in there and help dunk somebody, but in the sense that when someone comes to Christ, we lead them, we teach them, we help them understand the Bible, we help them understand how to live God's way and live by God's laws, and we guide them. That's what John meant when he says, I baptize with water. All I do is help people repent. I show them they need to repent, and I guide them, I lead them, and that's what we need to do. We need to baptize others in the sense that we need to lead them and guide them in their faith, help them in their faith, teach them the ways of God, teach them how God expects them to live. So when you teach someone, when you have a grandchild, or a child, or a friend, or a great nephew, or whatever it may be, when you have someone in your life that is a believer, whether they're a new believer or not, and you're guiding them, you're teaching them, and you're helping them with their Christian life, you in a sense are helping with that baptismal process. Because baptism goes far beyond the water. It's following Christ and being obedient to Him. So we've got to be a part of leading and discipling and continuing that process of baptizing them like John did. Showing them to repent, baptizing them in the water to give the symbol that they've made a difference, they've made a change, and now they're going to follow Christ. And so we've been encouraged this morning. We've been challenged. We need to be representatives for Christ. We need to say, I am humble and I love Christ. I'm not important. There's nothing great about me, but I am going to live a life that Christ can be proud of. And I'm going to be a servant of Christ the way John was. We need to be that voice crying out in the wilderness to the people. Not to be shy and timid, but to be outspoken and let them know that Christ loves them. And then when people are saved, we baptize them and lead them to discipleship and help them and guide them through that time of their life of change in the life of the decision that they've made. How has God used this in your life this morning? How has He spoken to you? Are you being that servant? Are you being that voice crying out? Are you leading those that are saved and helping them that process of baptism and renewal in their lives? Our invitation this morning is number 308. Whatever God has laid on your heart this morning, I pray you'll be obedient to Him and follow Him. That we can be that servant, we can be that voice, and we can be a part of baptizing, discipling people around us. Will you be a servant of God? Will you be that voice crying out in the wilderness? Father, we thank you for the love you give us. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. And God, what a challenge you've put in our hearts today to be your servants, to be a witness and to cry out with power and your strength in our lives. And then to lead others when they are saved to be baptized and guide them in discipleship and teach them and help them through that time of change in their life. God, all of us here this morning that are believers in you, we can have that role. We can be a part of your life and a part of your ministry in that sense. If we'll just follow the example set here by John the Baptist, the things that are said of him in this passage. But God, maybe there's somebody here this morning that's not a believer. Maybe there's someone here today that's never given their life to you. I pray that today that person will give his life to you. And it will come to know you in a special way that they can be baptized and we can help guide them. And then they can be a voice crying out. They can be the servant and representative of Christ. God, in this time of our lives, we just need your guidance. We need your strength. And we pray that you would just help us to know your truth and to live the way you would have us to live. And we pray that you speak to us now that we'll be obedient. And it's all these things we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Bless us in this time of invitation. Lord Jesus, amen.